Michael Kramer is founder and CEO of Adagio Teas, one of the most influential specialty tea retailers in the United States. He launched Adagio in 1999 with the goal of making high-quality loose-leaf tea more accessible while preserving the cultural, sensory, and ritual dimensions of tea drinking. Under his leadership, Adagio pioneered direct-to-consumer sourcing, online education, and consumer-driven tea blending, allowing consumers to create and share their own formulations long before personalization became a retail buzzword. Kramer has been a consistent voice cautioning against overstated health claims, instead positioning tea as a lifestyle practice rooted in pleasure, habit, and social connection. His perspective reflects a deep understanding of consumer behavior, product design, and the long arc of tea culture across markets. Michael holds a bachelor's degree from Rutgers University and an MBA from INSEAD. His analytical background continues to inform Adagio's data-driven and customer-centric approach to tea. The snow's piling up here in Winnipeg, and with daytime highs of negative 20, it never melts. During hot tea month, Michael, I make 32 ounces of hot tea at a time to keep my Yeti thermos filled by my desk. Miami, where you are enjoying a sunny day, sure looks inviting. Have you noticed a shift in consumer motivation around health and wellness since the pandemic, particularly given Adagio's work with functional formulations?
Well, we definitely have a wellness line, just because people were frequently coming with the particular question. You know, my stomach gets upset, what tea do you recommend? Or I get frequent headaches, what tea do you recommend? And so we came up with answers, because when we started off, we had like a very generic answer that said, a lot of teas are really good for you. Like, find the one that you enjoy and you'll probably drink more of it and therefore get more of the benefit versus treating it as medicine.
Right.
But I think that it was an answer, but it wasn't satisfactory to a lot of people that really are looking for just a singular answer. I have this issue. What do you recommend? And so we did develop a wellness line that has certain ingredients that people were seeking out. And so they, you know, a tea with a particular ingredient that has certain functionality, and that's the one that we kind of promote for that particular ailment. But we're really careful not to make tea seem like medicine.
Yeah. Right.
Because I can always get whatever I'm looking for in a pill. So why would I bother putting on a kettle, steeping the leaves, you know, draining, you know, separating the leaves from the water? Like, why would I go through that whole lengthy process if I could just take this little pill and it does the exact same thing? And so we emphasize the social aspect, the behavioral aspect of tea. You know, we all spend way too much time sitting down. And so when I need to take a tea break, I get up. Well, that's good for my circulation. I have to go to another room. Well, that's even better. I have to put on a kettle, and the kettle will take only 2 or 3 minutes to, you know, to heat up. Do I go back to my computer or do I hang out? Because by the time I get back and forth, it's same time, right? So it just forces you to take a break in your day. And while you're standing there waiting for the kettle to heat up, somebody else may walk by. Hey, how's it going? You may strike up a conversation that you otherwise would not have happened. And you learn something, you share something, you find out that there's an event coming up. Like, it just has so many societal benefits that you just can't put in a pill. And so our emphasis to people on tea is, don't treat it as this, like, here's a panacea that's going to solve all my problems.
Right.
Treat it as like a lifestyle. It just sets you up on a healthy lifestyle. And it's not going to solve all your problems, but it'll definitely contribute to some of the solutions that you're seeking.
Where do you see the gap between what consumers believe is healthy about tea and what science can actually support?
Well, I think the science is oftentimes done on either in a test tube, not necessarily on people. You literally create a control group. These people do not drink tea. You know, the other group drinks tea, and their behaviors are exactly the same, and tea being the only factor. And so then you can have a scientific study that would conclusively say, yes, tea is, you know, contributing to these things. So we have a sense that tea is promoting health, and we can tell in a test tube that it has a lot of components that are health affirming. We're always careful not to make like very definitive claims. I think people get into trouble when they do that. Like I know Tivana had a practice of being very explicit about their health claims. They literally would say, this tea will cure cancer. This tea will cure diabetes. When Starbucks purchased the company and took a look at their sales practices and said, well, you can't say that. Like we don't have scientific proof of that. And they had to tone it down. And that kind of contributed to the loss of sales because it's unethical of us to be making claims that we can't back up scientifically. Yeah. And so the way we kind of promote it is we know tea is healthy for you. Like it has all the elements that would contribute to your health and just make it a part of your lifestyle. Don't make it seem like it's the panacea that's going to be like, once I drink this tea, cup of tea, you know, all my ailments are going to go away. We're more focused on the wellness and the lifestyle as opposed to a particular, you know, here's a study, here's the ailment.
Has the post-COVID period changed how consumers engage with tea formats, such as loose leaf herbals and functional blends?
I'm not sure if the perception has changed. I think the overall consumption has changed. Preparation of coffee at home has exploded during that time.
Right.
You know, people couldn't go to their cafes, and so they had to invent a way to make it at home. And so I think the same similar thing had happened to tea, where basically the cafes were closed. I need to learn how to make tea, you know, before I would go in and the barista would make it for me. And so I think people had developed skill sets that they didn't have before. And so a much larger percentage of the population is willing to make the beverage at home. And so we're seeing a lot more consumption. I'm not sure that health is the driving force there. Like, I don't think people view tea as something that's going to help me, you know, ward off COVID or, you know, recover quicker if I do have it. I don't think that link was very visceral, but I think it's just the experience of being locked up and learning to make stuff. And then that skill didn't go away. And so we are seeing a lot more people embracing loose tea versus what they did before.
Have herbals played a particular role in that shift?
Well, I think the herbals is also the aging of the population is driving that. Like, we have a lot of people who are switching from caffeinated tea to herbals on the advice of their physician. They're just getting to the point where they're saying, cut down on your caffeine. And so that's the natural move for them.
How does tea fit into the broader wellness economy, including sleep, relaxation, and mindfulness?
We've offered chamomile as a product probably since day one.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's always been popular. And so some teas that have the ability to like calm you down and soothe you, whether it's the mints, the peppermints, the spearmint, they've always been popular. And I think they're more popular now just because of the cohort that's moving through their life cycle. So, you know, I mean, most of the boomers have already retired, and I think the last of the boomers will retire pretty soon. And so they're just in an age. I mean, they're just this mammoth cohort of people moving through their life cycle. And so they're at the stage when these things are important to them. And so, of course, we're seeing increase in sales of the products that would kind of fit that description, you know, more soothing, more relaxing, you know, less jittery.
So it is really the ritual of tea rather than the functional promise.
Well, we kind of touched upon earlier, the sociability of it. I mean, most of the time you don't have tea by yourself. You'll make tea. Hey, I'm making tea. Who else wants it? Somebody else will say yes. You know, there's just a nice societal give and take that occurs in that tea making process. The example that you gave earlier, traditional medicinal going to the pill form. Like once you reduce your product to just, it is take A, it will lead to B. Well, then you're no longer, it's not like a tea per se. It's just literally a collection of molecules that you're calling medicine. I think we lose something when we just focus on the functionality of the beverage versus, the experience of it.
Looking ahead, what health related themes do you expect to define the next phase of tea consumption?
My wish is that that the health aspects of tea become less important to people or less salient or less being the driver of their consumption. Like I would love, like if I compare it to wine. So wine has a lot of health benefits. But if people only viewed it as such, like I'm drinking wine because I need my antioxidants, I think that takes away a lot of the pleasure and the history and the cultivation and the story and the romance of wine. So I think the same thing, I would much rather people focus on tea as this is a really interesting product with like a very long history, and it is handmade and is cultivated, and where it's grown differs and affects its properties. And the one on this side of the mountain might taste slightly different than the one on the opposite side of the mountain. And like, I would much rather them focus on those aspects of tea versus, oh, I'm going to drink tea because it's going to do X, Y, Z for me.
Is personalization one way to deepen that engagement?
Well, we do it with our blending program. We give customers an ability to create any tea formulation that they desire. So you can literally say, I want 20% of this tea and 30% of that tea and 50% of that one. And I'm going to add these couple of ingredients to kind of, increase the flavor. So we already do it, and we've done this for many, many years. And so it's a popular program where people are able to kind of personalize and cultivate their tea versus the one that, you know, our tea master had come up with.
Do you use that blending data for research and development?
It helps gauge the people's interest in what the ingredients are. Yes. Mm-hmm. So much of it is also tied to the theme. So a lot of the blends are created with like themes in mind. And so sometimes the theme overwhelms the actual components. You can definitely use it as a laboratory. It's crowdsourcing. It literally is allowing your customer base to come up with formulations that you would not have come up with yourself. And so based on that, on the sales trajectory, you can say, okay, this particular flavor profile really has taken off. We haven't thought of it. Luckily somebody else has. And so we kind of learn from the data.
Do you see experimentation and, quote, make it your own, end quote, tea culture expanding further?
Well, tea is very forgiving. You can mix many different ingredients. You're not always going to hit upon a winning formula, but it won't be awful. Like you can't screw it up. And so, yes, the experimentation is like the number of combinations that you can put together in terms of different teas. You can do that. When we started this process, we thought, well, you mix black teas with black teas and you mix green teas with green teas because they both require different temperatures and different steep duration. But the customers started playing. They started crossing those kind of boundaries that we had in our mind. And sometimes the product turned out to be really good. Like you sometimes would be able to blend the black tea and the green tea and it didn't taste bad. Yeah. And so now that you have all these different variations of teas, now you can layer on top of it all these different ingredients, you know, from the herbal world or from the fruit, you know, dried fruit category. You can create like, I don't know, thousands of different combinations and they would be unique and different. And some may be, you know, some may appeal to you and not to others, but that's the beauty of the process, that you literally get to fine tune and get to find like what you really like and enjoy. And it's uniquely yours. And the beauty of our process is we make it available where you can make it available to others. So it's not just you create it for yourself. Like you can literally say, this is Dan's blend. And then other people go, oh my God, Dan hit upon something really wonderful. And then, you know, they'll be purchasing it.
Yeah, I love that idea.
Produced by Atavita Studios, connect your voice to the world.